Good morning, everyone, and dear fellow pilgrims, both here and who may be listening. I have something on my heart I'd like to share with you today about, and it's titled, Affection Determines Destiny. There's a lot of things to have affection for, but there's a lot of good things to have affection for. There's a lot of bad things to have affection for, and Satan is also out there wanting and vying for your attention and for your devotion and for your affection. He wants to take you away from the affection that leads to the kingdom. He wants to take you. He wants your attention. He wants your affection that will lead you to the destiny where he will rule and reign, and that is hell. And so here we go with every day we're going to be challenged with our determination to continue to be affected, have our affection upon Jesus Christ, and not the things of the world. Now, last week we were talking about Peter and the disciples. There were more than just him. They were out in a boat, and there was a tremendous storm, and Jesus knew there was going to be a storm. He went off to pray before they went out. But Peter was able to walk on the water because of his affection upon Jesus Christ. He had his focus upon Jesus. Great waves were there. And like I say, how many of you this past week have experienced waves coming against you? Mentally, spiritually, or even physically. Sometimes, for some of us, the waves of physical affliction aren't going away. Maybe through pain. Whether it be skeletal or organ-wise or whatever, we're experiencing, some of us, chronic pain. My heart goes out to you. I have a brother who is in chronic pain because of injuries, past injuries and back injuries and motorcycle accidents and all these type of things. He is in constant chronic pain. And if I have a pain once in a while, no matter where it may be, I do look forward to it going away. But when it's chronic, where is your affection? If it's on Jesus, God will make a way through that chronic pain. Mentally, spiritually, or physically, he'll make a way. And so I hope and I pray that Mark, the person that is talking to you right now, will have such affection for Jesus Christ that I will not be waylaid or blown away, so to speak, by the wiles of the adversary and the schemes of the adversary, but that I will trust him no matter what. And affection is everything. Who is our Lord today? He may have been Lord yesterday, but who is our Lord today? And let's just look at this, because I know a lot of you have the handouts, but let me just share it with you together, because I know a lot of times when I'm sharing, a lot of you take a peek at it, and let's just see the continuity of this, and let me just share it with you, the taken homes today. Affection determines destiny. There's so many things, causes, and people to be devoted to in this world. Satan, the god of this world, who comes as an angel of light, desires, covets, and actively seeks ways and means to stealthily and deceitfully garner the affection and devotion of every soul on earth. He doesn't care who you are. He didn't care whether you're male or female or child. His mission is to steal, kill, and to destroy. After all, he is also known as what? The Grim Reaper. However, he can't just appear with his deadly scythe and carry souls off to hell unless they exercise their God-given free will to choose him for their master. God earnestly desires for man to choose life eternal through his son Jesus and forsake the scheming and devious ways of Satan. Affection does determine destiny, heaven or hell. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to one and despise and be against the other. You can't serve two masters. That's hell. You cannot serve God and mammon, that is the deceitful riches, money, possessions, or what is trusted in. The Amplified Bible states it thusly. Paul said, if then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind or your affections on things above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, past tense, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I might add, we experience the death process every day. Even though it says you have died, we are dying, aren't we, to that flesh. Peter was enabled supernaturally to walk upon the stormy sea because he set his affection on Jesus alone. He began to sink because he looked to the threatening ways of fear, doubt, and unbelief. I think we can all relate to that. But here's the good news. For those who continue in their affection and faithful devotion to Jesus, though they may stumble and fall, like Peter, he will pluck them up from the storms and encounter and carry them safely to their heavenly destiny to be with him forever. Just like the video we just saw about these baby ducks and mother crossing this interstate or freeway in Canada. Incredible. Those of you who may be listening perhaps have not seen that. You can look it up and see it for yourself. It is miraculous, but I believe it's a life lesson for us. And they stuck to and with the mother. The mother led them across. It may have seemed treacherous and foolish, but we saw it happen. And it was incredible. They did make it successfully all the way across. If they did it again, unless God was with them, I don't think they would make it. So truly incredible. So, if we have been raised up in Colossians 3, 1 through 3, if we have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Some people are offended when you say, hey man, seek God, press in. And it's almost like offensive. They say, well, what do you mean? Like I'm not? You know, what do you mean keep seeking God? Keep setting my affection on things above like I'm not? Of course I am. And so there's sometimes an offense if somebody encourages you to keep seeking God. If someone should share that to me, I hope I would say thank you for the encouragement. I need to keep seeking God. If successful today, and God did a lot of things, but tomorrow's a new day. And tomorrow we fight again. You know, so it's a constant, perpetual walk of panting and seeking after God every day. The affection has to be upon Him because Satan is out to rob you of that affection and the benefits of that affection. He wants to steal you away to have some worldly fun for a while. Get away from God. Get away from His protection. And so I want to share something with you that amplifies and also goes along with what we're talking about here, and that is don't think so much with your mind carnally, but take the road that God has for you. We can be so intimidated by so many things, and we had an example, some testimonies earlier about that, but when we pray, we seek God, He makes a way where there seems to be no way, and it works out. If we seek Him, if we trust Him. But Oswald Chambers expressed it this way, don't think now, take the road. Where He leads, I will follow. It's so easy to say, huh? Where He leads, I will follow. Well, He's leading, but sometimes we don't follow. But He'll never lead us to disaster. Just like we saw on the video, He will never lead us to a disastrous situation if He's leading. You may encounter storms because Jesus told them and compelled them to get into the boat. I'll catch up with you later. He went off to pray. He compelled them to get into that boat and knew there was going to be a storm. Last week, I shared with you how I believe God trains us by degrees. Before they were in the boat, but He was in the boat with them. But he was sleeping. Wake up, don't you care? So he woke him up and Jesus told the waves to be still and it just freaked him out because the waves obeyed him too. Waves, inanimate things, water, molecules, whatever, they obey him. Can we as his children fathom that? Cancer, dissipates at his voice. It's gone. Disaster is not there because he is there. Yes, I know there have been Christians die of cancer. I know that. I understand that. But I'm not going to look to the negative. I'm going to look to the positive. I'm going to look to him, our great physician. And he makes a way where there seems to be no way. Can you imagine being in a boat? Jesus asleep, you wake him up, and all of a sudden the storm is about, they're fearing for their lives, they're about to sink and lose their lives, and he says, you know, hush, be still, or peace, be still, or be still, or I say to you, you know, quiet down, or whatever, however he said it, the waves, all of a sudden from the tremendous uprising against you and the fear in your life, all of a sudden he just goes, okay, be still, okay. Now, Dad used to have a way to make us be still when we got a little rowdy. And he used to, we had a two-story house on the farm. He used to get a broom and he would hit the ceiling and say, what his dad used to tell him, says, pipe down. He used to hit the ceiling and say, pipe down, it's time to go to bed. We're up there chattering away like a bunch of chickens before, you know, settling down. And we're all talking, telling stories and sometimes scary stories and tricking each other and scratching the wall like there's a mouse in the wall. Do you hear that? And carrying on, all that kind of, and there were mice in the house and they were in the walls and they did scratch. So we just kind of amplified it. We scratched the walls and all that. Do you hear that? And Dad, boom, 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 it's time to go to bed, pipe down. And all of a sudden, authority was yielded to. Okay, Dad. And then we whisper a little bit, you know. Finally whisper. But you see, the authority was there. And when Dad said hush, we hushed. And when Jesus said hush to the storm, can you imagine? Or if you can't, do it. Imagine it. It just, and that just freaked them out. And they just said, wow, even the waves, even the sea obeys him. Correct. And then he says, oh, you have little faith. Like, you have it. If you look to me, you have it. The storm shouldn't be a problem. You have it. I gave it to you. You have faith in me. Don't worry about the waves. And so this time, we're going to learn. He sends them out. He's not with them. But he comes walking to them on the water, and they think it's a ghost at first, apparition or whatever. And he tells them, peace be still, it's I. Do not be fearful. It's not a figment of our imagination when we read about these accounts. It really happened. Jesus really did the things that we read about. Eyewitnesses wrote it. Bring it home. Over 2,000 years ago, bring it home. Believe it. Eat it. Digest it. Ruminate on it. Just believe it and live it. That God wants you to be successful today. Like, it may seem minimal to some because they're not afraid of heights. But when I climbed that ladder, it was over two stories and it was straight up a wall and the ladder was pretty well straight up. And Michelle, I just took one step at a time and I didn't look down. It wasn't whoopee-kaye, look what I did. It was look what God did. When I got to the top, I reached that ledge and said, praise you, Lord. But then I had to come down. So, I grabbed the ledge, put my feet over, I had a man down there, and I came down successfully. God will always raise up a standard for what you're going against. Right now, our dear Joseph, has a pretty challenging situation that we're praying for. But with God, all things are possible. But you'll never know the possibilities of God unless you what? Go out that door that He has for you. Because there's going to be a day when that door is open. The door opens and you walk out. Where am I going? God says, well, look, the door is open. You're coming out. All you have to do, all your business has to be, all your preoccupation has to be, is just follow me. Can you imagine those little ducks following that mother across that freeway in Canada? That's all they had to do. That's what they did. They followed the mother. All you got to do is follow me, and I will show you the impossibilities. I will show you the impossibilities. And so You take one step at a time, but you do it in all passion, in all respect, in all fear of God. Lord, where are we going? And I can hear him say, well, you don't know that now, do you? All you have to do is follow me. And what did Jesus say to so many people when he would go along? He's gathering his disciples. He said, follow me. But where are we going? They knew so much that that was God's voice through Jesus Christ. They knew so much that that was him, that they left their nets and their occupations and everything that they were dependent upon for a living. They left everything and they followed him. I just believe that we're going to be a whole lot better off if we just leave alone what we're so busy about in our mind or in our spirit. It's so busy, so many little foxes, so many little bees, so much going on where Satan wants to get our attention. If we just leave it alone, if we don't look at it, but look to him and have this determination of affection toward Jesus Christ, we're going to be okay. We won't have any problems, like Shambach said. But how many of us are experiencing trials within and trials without needlessly? Now, if somebody says, you know, we're going to have corporal punishment because of your faith in Jesus Christ, or back then with the Romans, we're going to crucify you, or we're going to burn you at the stake, or whatever, like they did in the Middle Ages, or all these. That's a pretty heavy thing, not to dismiss lightly. But when you read about Fox's Book of Martyrs, and when you read these things these people went through, I mean, they basically said, no matter what you do, I cannot deny my Lord. If I deny him, I'm dead anyhow, so I'm not going to do it. So, and they lost their lives that way, burned alive at the stake, because they were supposedly evil. Where do you think their affection was when these testimonies, one after another, in Fox's Book of Martyrs that we know about, one after another, where do you think their affection was? Where must it have been? That was upon their Lord and Savior, who they did not see physically, but they saw him by faith. It is incredible. Truly incredible. I believe with all my heart that our affection is going to be proven where it is in our daily life. It's going to be played out. Sometimes the duration of the trial will let you know where your faith is. The duration of what you're going through will let you know where your faith is. And I know with all my heart I want to do something about people's physical conditions or situations, but I can't do it. I cannot manipulate of myself and my means to do anything about it, except to pray to God for him to do something about it. Because he can do all things, miraculous things, if we have but faith in him. Jesus said, oh, you of little faith. Wow. The wind, please listen to this because this is so powerful. The wind was actually boisterous. This is about when Jesus appeared to them in the boat. The waves were actually high. But Peter did not see them at first. He did not reckon with them. He simply recognized his Lord and stepped out in recognition of him and walked on the water. Do you believe with all your heart that account is true and accurate? I do. I give my life for it. It's not just a little story. But I don't believe Peter was eager to walk on water. What do you know in the story that proves that that's not true? All he said was, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. I want to walk on water like you're walking in water. He had nothing to do with that. He just wanted to come to Jesus. There happened to be water in between him and Jesus. There may be disease between you and your healing. There may be problems between point A and B in your life. But Jesus is greater than what you're looking at. And so he wasn't wanting to show the guys in the boat that, watch me, I can walk on water too. He would go, in the very first step, he would have sank like a sinker, like a lead weight. He would have gone down. But he wasn't looking to that. He didn't want to prove any of that. He just wanted to come to Jesus because he had affection, and he set his affection on things above, not on things on the earth where the turmoil and the trouble is, and the sharks and the whales and whatever else was in that water. I don't want in my life to prove to anybody, because I walk on water, I'm close to Jesus. I believe that's probably happened in different testimonies where people actually could have done that and may have done that. But I don't seek that. I want to know Jesus. The lame walk, the blind see, the demoniacs are healed and delivered, the lepers are cleansed, people blind can see. Not because we want to see those things, we just want to see Jesus manifest his power and his glory because of him, not because of what he can do for me. What a mighty God we serve. Peter then began to reckon with the actual things, and down he went. Why could not our Lord have enabled him to walk at the bottom of the waves as well as on top of them? I mean, we could be reading right now where Peter went down, but they saw him down there in the water. He was walking on the bottom of the ocean down there, and we saw him. He had some kind of a glow on him, and Jesus was down there walking with him too. They were down there dancing and all kinds of stuff down below the water. He could have done that. We could be reading about that, but we're not. He could have done it, though, without scuba gear, without anything, with it just down there walking under the water. It's just been just as great a miracle as walking on the water as walking below the water. So I want to know, I want to have an affection toward Jesus, and I want to let him control the results, not me. Well, last week we had five people. We had five people out of 50 get out of the wheelchairs, and next week we have a goal to have 10. We did have people that were visually impaired. We had 15 last week. Our goal this week is 25. Make sure, make sure, make sure you give, and God will bless you. It has nothing to do with what you give or what you don't give. It has nothing to do with trying to duplicate or replicate what we did last week. But we better believe that God can raise the crippled and heal the bones and mend the eyes and do all these things. We need to have faith in him that he can do all things that he wants to do when he wants to do it. And that all comes down to what? Faith in the living God. I want to know him. Y'all want to know him in your, you want to make it real in your daily life? You know, I'm not Peter. I may not ever walk on the water, on top of the water. I may be the first one to walk underwater. I don't know. I just want to know him. He opens prison doors, sometimes later than we want him to. He sets the captives free. Even though we may be incarcerated, we can still be free. Now, I said this before. If the truth were known, we'd all be wearing county or state or federal outfits. Because none is righteous, not one. We've just never been caught. But God sees it. And I thank God for setting me, a captive, free. And he's setting me free more from, setting me free more freer from Mark than ever before. I'm learning to do it his way. He's training me by degrees. How about you? It is a process. You are not going to push fast forward. And you can't bail out and just push delete. I don't want to play anymore. Now, a little Addie can do that. She can push her little games and stuff, and boop, I don't want to do that anymore. We can bail anytime we want to. But guess what? You're going to have to go right back up where you left off and boot it up
and get right back on the program.
If you're a child of God, you can bail out, you can delete, you can take a break, but you're going to have to get right back on board to learn your lesson, to learn my lesson. This is interesting, isn't it? It's a walk. It's a relationship. And when if I were to speak and say to someone, I'm talking about a compound fracture right through the leg, and to say, in the name of Jesus, in his authority and all that he stands for, rise up and walk. Wow. Yeah, I desire that for the glory of God, for not for me. Not to show everybody else, wow, what a hot dog preacher he is. I've seen him speak, and I've seen the lame walk and the blind see. I don't want that to be seen. I want it for the glory of God. That gets people's attention, doesn't it? And then people try to fake that stuff and do all kinds of stuff, and God sees that too. And then they blame the church and the hypocrites and all this kind of stuff. Well, that's where the hypocrites need to be. They need to be in church or with God, hearing God's word, to be convicted of the hypocrisy. But I tell you what, it takes someone smaller than a hypocrite to hide behind a hypocrite. Come on, Jesus. What are we going to learn today? And I want to say to each and every one of you, you can learn it right where you are. You're not with me. You're not experiencing what I'm experiencing. I'm not experiencing what Drew is experiencing. But we are special forces of the living God. And we're going to be equipped to do special force things. I believe that with all my... And we may be... Special forces are not a big group. They're just a small group. But man, those guys can go out and cause... And women, they can go out and cause some serious trouble for the enemy. Well trained, equipped, and able to disrupt and do and thwart the enemy. That's what I see the church really getting funneled down to. Special forces of God. Being trained by God, by the Spirit of God, to be able to do a work on this earth for His glory. No religion, none of the... They don't need crowds. They don't need to be seen. They don't need any of that stuff. And when they're down on finances and stuff, like, God's going to provide a way. You know, God fed Elijah with a crow, a raven, you know, whatever. Yeah, I can't eat that. He said, you better eat it. That's what I'm providing. And so, man, eat up. You know, so God makes a way where there seems to be no way. And I want to be a part of God's special forces with all my heart. I really do. And I want you to be there. And you say, well, gee, I've got some things to work out. Well, then work them out. If I were to say to you, you know, I'll be glad to catch up with you. I've got to work out. Well, then work them out. Don't say I can't work them out. Work them out. We're doing tasks sometimes where recently, like on Friday, we were doing work and getting some excavating done and stuff like that. But sometimes you're going to sweat and you're going to feel it. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. And I'm talking to somebody on Sundana called me. And I was talking to him. He said, what's up? I said, I'm out here. We're doing some excavating work and stuff like that. And I feel like it's raining off the cap of my bill, of my hat. It was just raining with humidity and sweat. And I was soaking wet. But I was glad to hear from him, and he may have been in he was on his way to work. But that's where he is, and this is where I am. But you know what? I'm okay with that. I wasn't like, wow, it's hot out here. Wow, it's humid out here. Daggone crazy. Why am I even out here? You know, why not be where you are and be held in the arms of Jesus right where you are, doing what he has you to do with peace and joy and thankfulness in your heart, that you have the help to do that. We're going to find ourselves in different situations. But we're all going to have to go through blood, sweat, and tears to get where God wants to train us to be. I hope we just want to volunteer for that. Imbue me, Lord. Fill me. Use me for your glory in the little old short life that I have on this earth. Because it's like a vapor. It's just like the fog that rises up at noon. It burns off. Your life is that short. And you realize that when you're having your last breath. As my mother grew older, and my visits right down the road to her, I knew at my age when I was visiting her, I knew I wasn't where she was, but I also knew she was feeling something that only her age could manifest, or her age could speak to me. And so when I would visit her, I'd be at the door and say, "Mom, I gotta go now." She would take me, her hand, right by the belt loop. "Oh, tell me, honey. Tell me. What else? You know it's true, don't you? What else, honey? What else?" I said, "Well, Mom, I gotta go do this and that, but I'll be back to see you." "Okay. Okay." But she was growing older, and those moments become more precious.
That's what I feel. As we grow in the Lord, you realize you're just down here for a short while, so why not do it God's way? Why not be about His business now? And we're going to be with Him soon anyhow. So let's do it His way. And I thank God that my mother's with Him now. And so I'll get to see her again. So forever. And she won't have to hold my belt loop and say, "Hey, what you going to do? Where are you going?" It's just awesome. Well, we step right out on God over some things. Then self-consideration enters in and down we go. If you are recognizing your Lord, you have no business with where He engineers your circumstances. I believe God has engineered many of our circumstances in here. It's been miraculous to see things happen and where we've moved to and from, and then the timing of those moves and where we've been employed and what we're doing and all these things, and being dismissed from jobs, and yet God still keeps us, and going through accidents and going through situations that we go through, and trials within, trials without. God is keeping us. God is engineering circumstances for our good. How many of you believe that? The actual things are, but immediately you look at them, you are overwhelmed. The actual things are really, I really have a toothache. And I don't know what to do, because I sure ain't going to go to a dentist, because I just ain't going to do it. Well, if you don't, then you're going to have to either God heal you or do something, but you can be overwhelmed just by the possibilities of never wanting to do what you need to do. One of my guys told me recently, this happened some time back. I couldn't believe it. But this individual did have an infected tooth, did not want to go to the dentist, and took a couple rounds of crack cocaine, because that's where they were, and waited about a minute after she took two dimes of cocaine, and she says, "You got pliers? You got any pliers on your truck?" Went out and got her a pair of pliers, and she pulled a molar tooth out with two dimes of cocaine. I said, "Why did she do that?" "Because she didn't want to. It's too expensive to go to the dentist." I said, "I cannot comprehend that." Maybe through torture, and people do things like that. But I'm just talking about someone volunteering to do that. I guess what I'm saying here is, it's an analogy. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, if the situation that's going on is He's in it, we can do it, but I can never do it without Him. Wow. Before, it says, the Lord says, "Why'd you doubt? Let actual circumstances be what they may. Keep recognizing Jesus. Maintain complete reliance upon Him. Keep your affection upon Him. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." Set it. It's a guide. It's a rule. It's a focus. It's a target. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And one thing that really gets a lot of us is not so much maybe us, but it's others. Maybe our children. Maybe loved ones that you just, wow, tears you up at times. If you debate for a second when God has spoken, it's all up. Never begin to say, well, I wonder if he did speak. You ever been there? The Lord says something, you say, well, I wonder if he really does want me to go across the road or say something to this person. Was that really God or is that just me? How many of you gone through that? I have. Is it you, Lord? I really want to know if it's you. I know I have. Well, I wonder if it's God that did speak. Be reckless immediately. Fling it out all on him. You do not know when his voice will come. When we say reckless, we're talking about a reckless abandon to trust God by faith. We're not talking about being reckless like crazy carnal recklessness. God is not a reckless God. We go out with him and he shows us, but he's not reckless. We need to have a reckless abandonment to believe him. You will only realize his voice more clearly through obedience. One obedient trial at a time, one situation at a time, one tear at a time, one step at a time, one ordeal at a time is all you can handle. You can't handle overwhelming circumstances, and God will not put overwhelming circumstances on us. But we do feel overwhelmed when we take upon us all these things, and we just almost have a meltdown, like a implosion, because we can't do. All you got to do is take one step at a time, trusting him, looking to him, abandoning to him, instead of what's it going to be like, what's going to happen, and all these type of things driving nuts. Drew, I need your help just a moment. I just want to share something with you. I want to illustrate something with you as we begin to close here about something I want to encourage you to do, I want to encourage me to do. I brought my couple little props here, and I want to illustrate something. I'm out at sea, and it's scary. It's frightful. I would not want to be out in the Gulf, 50 miles out there in an 18-foot boat, seeing the storms that I have seen lately come through Brandon, Tampa, North Tampa, all around. Tremendous torrential rain and thunder and lightning. I would not want to be out there knowing my home is back here, and the only way to get from there to here is to go through it. I would be very fearful. So I want to say this, and I hope it makes an impression upon you, because I think about this a lot from my own life. This is a mast of a ship. A mast of a ship can be tremendous. It's a tree. It's been whittled down and shaved and tremendous. Some of these schooners have 6 masts on them. Bang, 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 with sails attached to them. But if you're on the boat with Jesus, and safety is represented by that boat, and you don't want to get washed off. Drew, would you come up here? I'm going to hold on to the mast and just wrap that thing around me and this mast, because I do not want to get washed away. I want to say this. I want to make it very, very personal, too, and very specific. This may be something you need to do with your tongue. See, not just a thank you so much, man. Do not let me tie me down good. But make sure we get this cut off later. Thank you so much for your participation, man. I appreciate it. Gotta have a SF man up here.
Then I have a backup drum on that. Are you ready?
Okay, we need a rehearsal. Your tongue is going to want to come loose. It's going to want to rip. But if you will ask the Lord to tie that crazy thing down, this may be your mind. How many of you, I have a nephew that says, I thought about everything. This is at night. A lot of us do this. I do this. He said, I thought about everything I can think of. And when I can't think anymore, then I go to sleep. But how many of you, I cracked me up when he said that, but how many of you, your mind won't let you rest? It just won't, it's just like womb, womb, womb. It won't let you rest. Tie it down.
is don't let it wash about and come loose from holding on to Jesus. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Put on the mind of Christ. I want to ask you, what else can we tie down up here? We got our tongue, we got our mind. What else that you struggle with, maybe, that you'd like the Lord to tie down? We're going to make this a prayer. You know, why not make this real? It's no game. It's no joke. Some real stuff. Because the waves are coming to America, to your world, to your life. You've experienced some, but this nation is going to get battered. And people are going to be found out for who they really are, and the churches within our country as well. If they're playing church, then they're going to get washed away. If they have a relationship with Jesus Christ, they're going to be held fast to the ship that Jesus has for us, the safety that he has for us. When Jesus got into the boat with Peter, they immediately arrived where their destination was. The waves stopped. What else can we tie down? What about your imagination? Kind of has something to do with the mind, but sometimes just my imagination running away with me. Well, it did with that wasp nest I'm talking about. There were no bees up there, and he saw bees flying around. There was no bees on it. Just my imagination. Well, I found that out later. What else?
Fear.
What else can we batten down here?
Fear.
Fear.
I just had it on the tip of my tongue.
Fear. Fear, doubt, and unbelief. They're all cousins. They all hang out together.
Your addictions. It's high down so you don't go off. You have a drug addiction.
Yes.
To keep you planted.
Yes. I would say, along with addictions, I would say habits. You know, crazy habits that we have. Lord, tie my habits. Restrain, Lord. Help me to not go forward with my habits, to do what I want to do. But Lord, tether me, tie me. Teach me your ways. This is what this tethering is all about. Who let the dogs out? You know? A lot of you would like the dogs to be let out, right? People come up and give you a hard time for no reason at all. What are you looking at? I didn't even look at you. Yeah, you're looking at me. I saw you look at me. Bam! You know, it just starts up just like that. And you had nothing to do with it. Nothing at all. What are you looking at? What's up with you, Wody? I'm not looking at anything. All of a sudden, shanks come out and everything else. I said to my guys, what would happen if I went down to the Blue Note and I walked in there, which is predominantly a neighborhood that is African-American down there at a bar, and I walked in and say, what's up, chumps? You know? I said, what's chump mean? What does it really mean? He said, that means like, what's up, punk? It means the same thing. I said, I don't think you'd come out of there. So our tongue can get us in trouble so easily because we think we're so hot or whatever. What else can we tie down or want to tie down or desire to tie down?
Having the right to be right.
Oh, golly, that's a good one. Lord, let me get a hold of that attorney. Let me get a hold of that judge. Let me get a hold of whatever is putting me where I am. I want to come off the chain and do something about this. And you're being held back because you want God to hold you back. You see, you want to go, but you also want God to have his way. You want God to restrain you from doing something you shouldn't do. Because it was up to you. You'd rip the mask out and you would just... you'd lay them all out. What was that you said again?
The right to be right.
The right to be right. Wow. I said to an attorney one time, and I said, well, we just want justice. He laughed. Now I know what he means. I didn't know what he meant then. I said, man, what are you laughing at? To myself, I said, what are you laughing at? I just want justice. It's relative.
That's right.
And he knew it, and he said, poor child. I want the right to be right. Anything else?
Pride.
Pride goes before a fall. And pride will do so many things. It'll drive you to areas you do not want to be. And you'll say, what am I doing out here? I wanted to walk with Jesus on the water. And all that was just pride. Bang! Down you go. Anything else?
Gossip.
Oh, golly. Hey, look. I'm not supposed to say anything, and I'm not going to say anything, but I just want to tell you, just don't tell anybody. But this is, you just be cool about it. It's okay. I'll tell you, I'll tell anybody else, because they told me not to tell anybody. That's all you got to do, and it's over. How many of you want to say something? So many of you want to gossip. It's fun. It feels good because it makes you feel better about yourself, because you're not like them. But you can say something about them, makes you feel good. So it's rattle. Boy, I see the mask getting a little loose down there now. What else?
Tail bearing.
Yeah, same kind of. Gossip, tail bearing.
Same thing.
Wow.
Repeating things.
There's a lot of things, isn't
there? Things
a lot of things going on.
Slandering.
Slander. That kind of makes you feel better because you're making somebody else feel worse.
Or all goes together.
Getting them straightened out. It's all out there, isn't there? You all know what's going on here? How many of you would like to pray for the Lord to tie you down to the mask and not go off and do what you want to do anymore? Habits and things and ways that you live. And we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We need to be transformed. That's metamorphosis, from the little caterpillar to the butterfly process. And I want to tell you something more. I want to tell on you. And it's going to be good. We got together on Memorial Day. We were at a gathering. And the thing was to tell each other about someone who had received the Purple Heart or some valiant warrior in warfare and on Memorial Day. And so Laura had hers, and it was time for her. Others had stood up and gave their speeches, and it was her turn. And she stood up, and she was intimidated, and she really struggled to do that. But I tell you what, I'm about ready to shout hallelujah, come out of my chair, come over there and hug you so tight and maybe crack a rib or something. But you stood up and you said, and you read about the person that you wanted to share with us about the Purple Heart. And you did that. And that, to me, was an overcoming for you. Because we all go through different things and we all experience different things, but you did it. You stood up and you read it, and you went through that. God trains us by degrees. Now, I bet you, again, if you were asked to do something like that, you could do it probably more confidently and not be so intimidated by it. Right?
Maybe.
That's true. Absolutely. You could have a struggle, but God was wanting to train us. To be able to do what we think we cannot do. Because that's a good thing that we were doing.
I want to close by saying this, because there's much to be said about this. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. And I want to say this again, you cannot serve two masters. Our passion and our affection has to be upon Jesus and Him only. You cannot serve the living God through Christ Jesus and the God of this world, Satan, at the same time. For those of you maybe listening, you have a choice to make. Serve the living God through Christ Jesus or serve the God of this world. But there's no in between. There's no Jeeston. Jesus and Satan. Jeeston. I want them both.
I want the best of both. I can have my fun, and I don't have to worry about what God says about this. And I just want a combination. I want lukewarmness. I want everything and anything. I had dreams last night about that, anything and everything. And my, I'm asking God to teach me even when I sleep. And boy, I had some dreams about that. And boy, it's indicative of how the world really is. It was powerful. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then make it your business to do so by simply saying, Jesus, I'm tired of doing this my way. I want to do it your way. Come into my life. Make your home. Make your temple within me. I want to do it your way from this day on. And it will be a process for you, as well as it is for all those who've accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to be transformed through the renewing that the Spirit of God can make in your life. It's a transformation. It's a salvation that takes place in that moment of time, but you will be transformed for the rest of your life into the image of Jesus. It's a process. It's a life. And may God help you to do that. God bless you.